start with our curriculum. Like I said, if you could just put those cards at the end of the table, I will pick them up. So we have our curriculum. It's always exciting getting a new book back to school year time. I think it's always exciting teaching a Bible study in the fall. We've all been programmed to start school in the fall, right? So we're all excited. We have our new books, maybe even a new pencil, new package of paper, you know. And a few weeks from now, we'll be digging for a pencil. We'll be looking for a piece of paper and so on and so forth. But hopefully, if you attended the luncheon or were able to listen to my words that I asked, how many of you, do not raise your hands, but how many of you were successful in setting a time for this Bible study and a place, and that you have your copy of God's Word that you're going to use every time? Because your mind takes a picture of the words and the location. And you may not be able to recall it, but you'll be able to flip to it someday. I've had that experience where I'll be like, I know that's in the New Testament, whatever. My mind will actually take my hand to where I need to be. So I'm hoping that happens for you over the course of the study with Hebrews 11. We'll say something in class and you'll just flip right in 11 and you'll say, verse 6, that's it. And it'll just flow from you. It'll come out in your prayers. It'll come out in your worship. One of the things I want us to do is, I just laid the hymnal. Oh, I hit it right here, too close. If we would take the hymnals on the page in front of us, on the table in front of us, and turn to page 222, and we're going to use the hymn that we sang at the luncheon. But today, I don't know how many of you are just beautiful singers, and when you sing, it's just effortlessly, and you can only focus on the words and not your howling like I do, and that you're not scaring the people next to you. How many times do we actually get to look at the words? So one, because I sing terribly, and I didn't know who would be attending the class, we're not going to sing today, but we're going to read just verse 1 of this hymn, so that we can take in the richness of the words that were so carefully picked for us. And I would like a volunteer that would like to read the verse that's stated at the top of the page, and then another volunteer to read that first verse for us. So that comes right out of our scripture reading today, doesn't it? Now let's read verse 1. All right, hearing it read like that, did anybody pick up something that they had not heard when they tried to sing it in worship time at church? Was there any words that popped out? Or is there just anything that pops out even when you sing it every time? And one thing about God is he packs a whole lot of meaning in 4 words. I wish I could write like God. So he created the whole grand design. 4 words, right? That's a lot of business. So I'm hoping through us discussing this hymn, we're going to discuss it a little each week, and then we'll sing it. Not today, though. When we are reading our Bibles and when we are singing our Bibles or singing the words of faith, that it can mean a little bit more, and it can not just be an activity we're doing or trying to follow along, but really becomes worship. And so I don't know how many of you have ever owned a hymnal, but I encourage you to. And because if you have them at home and you can read them, even if you're not a singer, before you start studying your Bible, it's amazing what it can do. Or even more exciting is when you're reading God's Word, you go, that's that hymn. That's the one, you know. The connection between worship in our Bible study and worship on Sunday morning becomes one and the same. So I'm hoping that helps. All right, so you can close the hymnals. We're done with that part. That was pretty painless, right? I didn't make any of you sing. All right, now, so we've prayed. Normally we would have sang in our worship time. Now we're going to read verses in Hebrews 11, 1 through 16, and if I could get someone to read 1 through 8. Does anybody, Is anyone using the NASB Bible? All right. So could I have you, Linda, right?
Yes.
Yay, I got the right name. One of each. All right. Why I ask that is because there's such a richness in reading the different versions, just like she said. In the back, she gives us the New King James, you know, in the text of your workbook. She has all the verses that way. And, for example, you just, the word, where was it, obeyed, verse 8. In the NASB, you get lived, right? What is it, Amber? Verse 9 is, it's not obeyed, it's by faith, Abraham, what?
He lived it.
Lived. So, he, you know, these words are so rich, and they have usually three or four meanings, and the translators have to do their best to translate it to the right meaning. And we get such a richness of that language, the Greek and the Hebrew, when we read the different translations, because the different translators had different strengths and weaknesses, and they saw the scriptures a little, you know, more defined. So I think it's always neat to hear those different words, because one might really just flip something in your mind a little better when you get to compare the two. So it's not a conflict. It's just a richness of meaning. All right. In looking at that, this is a... Oh, I meant to go over that side. I'll do it at the end. All right. So we're going to look at the meaning of faithfulness, right, today. And how are we going to get that meaning? It's going to be through the reading of the word. And I hopefully, if you read it enough, then the scriptures that we're studying, these meanings will come much easier. There's not any other secret other than being in the word to realizing what faithfulness is. We can cheat or talk to other people and get the meaning of what faith is. But as we read it, God's word is meant for each one of us. And when you're new and young at studying, I remember, how did they get all that answer? How did they know to answer faith is all of this? I only knew this much about faith. It's through reading the entire word of God. So she is quoted in the beginning of your text, Thomas Manton, and who is a Puritan, and his writing of Hebrews. And it said, now I added in, she dot, dot, dot. My husband, the first thing he did when he looked at that quote said, she left out what she was referring to. So I put in the dot, dot, dot part, which was the reference to Galatians. So it concerneth us very much to understand the nature of faith, for we live by it. Galatians, what is that, 22. I live by faith of the Son of God and can live by it and not know what it is. No, it's not 22, it's 220, right? I'll have to look that up again. 220, yes. Got thrown off by the, I quoted it exactly. So, that's what we're going to build our foundation on for the entire 8 weeks. And what we're doing is an inductive study, very slowly and thoroughly. We're looking at the text. We're going to observe and interpret and gain knowledge about what faith is. So what is it? What it looks like when we live by it? How others have excelled in it? How we can grow best in our faith and become strong in faith? What we can do to help strengthen the faith of generations who have come behind us. That's a big charge, right? That's the last one there really is our Titus call. You know, we're called to teach one another. And in this book of Hebrews, we're really called to not just be taking of milk, but to be teaching. He says, what? You're not teaching? So, as we read the book of Hebrews, I got really lucky in having to teach this one. Who's the author? of Hebrews. God, right? And we have no other record of anyone else, so I don't have to expound upon them, right? We only get to look to God, right? They're not exactly sure which group of the Hebrews that it was actually written to. It just says a letter to the Hebrews, right? That's all it means. Nothing more, nothing less. So it's written to them, right? I don't have to go on about that either. We just get to focus on God and Christ being the high priest. We assume that it was written, what, about 70 AD? And that's all we need to know. We get to focus on Christ in this book of the Bible. All right. So the next thing there, how can we best grow in it? Is by reading it and knowing it. And boy, Hebrews gives us a big boots to fill. There's just a lot of little bitty commas with three or four words that cover whole chapters of the Old Testament. Or several chapters of the Old Testament. And God has put it between, well, the commas were added by the translators, but there's just a few words, and it covers whole lot of pages in the Old Testament. And so if we don't understand it, that whatever we're studying, we're going to have to go back and read those stories of Abraham, Cain and Abel, Noah, and so forth. All those saints are listed. And I love, as we get to the end of chapter 11, he just strings them together with just their names. Doesn't even give us any sentences or phrases. We get to go back and read the whole thing, so maybe we should just reread the whole Old Testament, right? There must be some validity to that, some foundation that's laid there for us to see the benefit of the new covenant. All right, so that's fun and exciting, isn't it? The whole Old Testament is summed up in this book of the Bible. All right. And we get to see the new covenant. What will happen here? We will grow by gaining an understanding of the faith and how to live by faith, how to live by faith and all the challenges on life's paths, right? For some reason my H isn't showing up. All right, so why would we study this, Hebrews 11? We're here, we bought the book, we read the chapter, we did the homework. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to be profitable for us, right? For reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Anybody know what verse that is?
2 Timothy 3:16.
Amen. That's why we keep reading, so that we can recall that and it comes from our heart. We learn doctrine. We won't have to read a book on doctrine. It'll start to flow from us. Reproof, correction, training in righteousness. All right. Whoopsie. You don't get to see that one yet. All right. So, let's look at your booklets a little bit more here a minute. Everybody got to read page 7 that says about this study, right? And what you need to have on hand. For those things on hand, like I said before, is your Bible and maybe a commentary or things like that. She suggested the Matthew Henry. I will say, if you have a reference Bible, have you noticed in the, and please, I'm never trying to talk down to you. I'm always trying to talk to everybody that might be coming. So sometimes she over-explains this. Well, that's for the person that may not know. You know, in between the columns is some little references. And if you look for those little letters and you follow those references, usually what they're using there is what's called the treasury of scripture and knowledge, of knowledge. And they're tracing scripture upon scripture. You've heard, and let scripture speak for itself. John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, those types of teachers.
have really put that into our head. Let Scripture speak for Scripture. Well, how do you do that? You can use those little references in your center column. So when you're going to answer a question, and you're thinking, I don't know the answer to that question. I have read this, and I've read it, and I've read it. Well, that's one way you can find it. You can do a word study, which she describes. Or you can own this book, which exhaustively, this is the old one, I have the new one on my iPad, takes each little bit of the verse, and even the thes and the bys, breaks it down like strong, so that you can flip. This only flips to the verses, though. Where, do you know what a Strong's Concordance goes back and tells you what the word meant in the Hebrew or the Greek? Okay? But this just simply goes to Scripture. And I will pass it around. It is on Hebrew, so you can peek if you want to. If you haven't seen that before. So whenever I get stuck and I'm like, okay, I can't think of the definition. I don't want to go to Matthew Henry yet. What do? I get out my Scripture knowledge book, and I try to go to Scripture first. All right. Do you have any questions, or did you have any trouble as you started this study? Okay, good. All right. So she's looking at unexpected paths. So if you read page 9, some of you may be recalling a difficulty in the past, or you may be looking at a difficulty you think is coming, or you just want to be prepared for life in faith. So as I read that, I can, especially those questions at the bottom, you know, how am I to continue a strong faith when the path is unrelenting? Who is responsible for my unexpected path? Why can't I just have a normal life like everyone else? Boy, look at chapter 11. Do you really want a normal life? Well, how many of you have read, well, this is a rhetorical question. In reading Pilgrim's Progress, right? Now this is, I had someone make a comment, which I thought was a good one. Is that really all of Pilgrim's Progress? No, this is John Bunyan's work with Pilgrim's Progress in the front. It's only about 200 pages long, and this is quite a thick book. But I realized I referenced something at the ladies' room, and I got in the car, and Maggie said, Mom, I think you said the wrong thing. I said, thank you, Miss Maggie, what did I say? Well, I forget that a lot of people have not read part 2 of Pilgrim's Progress. And so when I talk about Christiana, his wife, that's actually part 2 of the story. And though I gained tremendously by reading Pilgrim's Progress, Christiana's story just brought me to tears. I don't know if it's because I was like, I've heard this is the greatest book ever, next greatest book next to the Bible. You know, every good pastor, preacher, elder had said, read Pilgrim's Progress. And then I ignored him until I was 32 years old, didn't read it. And when I did, I went, oh, they're right. And then I ordered something, and they sent me part 2. And I said, part 2? No one ever talks to me about part 2. And I started talking about it, and people said, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I ordered this big book. And it is so amazing, because his wife, if you know the story, when he gets convicted and saved and just feels that there's nothing else in life but to seek the Lord and head to heaven or celestial city and journey as a Christian, and he has a friend Faithful, and he has a friend Timid, and worldly wise comes into his life, and all these different attributes of life are faced with him. But Christian is his name. He makes it. And the journey is really hard and really scary, but he forges the path, right? He perseveres to the end, like we're going to be encouraged here in 12:1 and 2 of Hebrews. And then, click, once he's died, his wife gets it. But she scorned him. She sent him away. And through that, though, she's saved by her sin, just like the rest of us.
when we truly repent. And it opens with the neighbors talking about this family. You know? And there, when they were here, Christian was the greatest guy. The minute he ran off seeking Christ, he was a Lulu, right? And now his wife, have you heard about her? And so, both scenes are set as a dream. And so this is a dream being recounted to us. And then I love it. It's a dream within a dream. And nobody writes good movies as John Bunyan writes these words. But so anyhow, she's had a terrible night. And she's been up all night. And her children, she has four sons, do not know what to do with this woman, right? And so the next morning she gets up and she prays. And she talks with her children. And while she is talking with her children, there is a knock at the door. One hard knock at the door, to whom she spake, saying, if thou comest in God's name, come in. So he said, amen, and opened the door and saluted her with, peace be to this house. The which when he had done, he said, Christiana, knowest thou wherefore I am come? Then she blushed and trembled. Also her heart began to wax and warm with desire to know from whence he came and what his errand to her. So he said unto her, my name is Secret. I dwell with those that are high. It is talked of where I dwell, as if thou hast a desire to go thither. Also there is a report that thou art aware of the evil that hast formerly done to thy husband, in hardening of thy heart against his way, and in keeping of these thy babes in their ignorance. Christiana, the merciful one, hath sent me to tell thee that he is God ready to forgive, and that he taketh delight to multiply to pardon offenses. He also would have thee to know that he inviteth thee to come into his presence to his table, and that he will feed thee with the fat of his house and with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. There is a Christian, thy husband, that was with legions, more his companions ever beholding, that is faith that doth minister life to the beholder, and that they will all be glad when they shall hear the sound of thy feet step over the father's threshold. Christiana at this was greatly abashed in herself, and bowing her head to the ground, this visitor proceeded and said, Christiana, here is also a letter for thee, which I have brought to thee from thy husband's king. So she took it and opened it, but it smelt after the manner of best perfume. It also was written in letters of gold. The contents of this letter were these, that the king would have her to do as did Christian, her husband, for that was the way to come to his city and to dwell in his presence with joy forever. At this, the good woman was quite overcome. So she cried out to her visitor, sir, will you carry me and my children with you, that we also may go and worship the king? Listen to this. Then said the visitor, Christiana, the bitter is before the sweet. Thou must, though troubles, as did he that went before thee, enter the celestial city. Wherefore I advise thee to do as did Christian, thy husband. Go to the wicket gate yonder, over the plain, for that stands at the head of the way of which thou must go. And I wish thee all good speed. Also I advise thee that thou put this letter in the bosom, and that thou read therein to thyself and to thy children, until they have got it to by heart, for as one of the songs that thou must sing while thou art in the house of the of thy pilgrimage. Also this must deliver in at the further gate. So, to me, this is what we're going to face. She became saved. We would just love to skip. I want that Candyland piece that takes me right to the end, right? To the celestial city once I'm saved. Wouldn't that be something? But instead, we're given the letter, right? To memorize, to sing, to worship, to know. And we get to travel the same path that her husband traveled. But when you read the story, it's very amazing how she travels with other fellow Christians, where he traveled and had to meet whoever he met along the way. So we're very blessed to be here at Saving Grace Bible Church to go along together. And that's why it's neat to attend a ladies' Bible study, to be equipped to travel with one another. So, now on to page 11. We're going to look at this lesson and the pieces about faith, life, and what that means. Let's see here a minute. Something else. All right. So, as it, with Christiana, our life is a life of faith. It's a matter of salvation depends upon it, as it did for her, right? By which the benefits of Christ's saving words are going to be what we pour into. This 11th chapter of Hebrews defines the nature and the exhaustibility and working of what that faith is. We get to see it through those who have went before us. So just like Christiana got to see Christian, we're going to look to all of the saints that are listed here, and there are more. And there are currently people that we can look to, John MacArthur, Pastor Mark Gregg. We have other Christians here that we get to share that walk with. It's the work of the master teacher and a loving pastor who's provides for us what faith is and the exercises too, and the imploring of this unknown author that wants us not to miss out. It just so reminds me of Christian. He begs his family. He implores his family to go with him, and they don't. And I'm sure some of the people that received this letter, they didn't either. And this book of the Bible talks about what that unbelief leads for us and what the consequences of unbelief are. And I hope through this class you can see the belief and not just believing in an idea, but it becomes heart and soul. And the endurance that it's going to take on your faith and how that's going to be defined. So, going on to page 12, I always like to know what page the teacher's on. I hate it when they flip and I'm like, oh, over here. So I hope it doesn't bother you that I do that. I hope that when you got to sit down, and maybe even if you're like me, sometimes I've already prayed. So then when the curriculum starts with a prayer, like it does here for question one, I'm not ready to do that. Day two, I write in there, you know. So, and I, if I share things, it's not to make you like me. I am sharing so that, to give you some relief, that it doesn't always come in order, okay? I don't want a bunch of little Cheryls. I want a bunch of little, or big Christians. I want you to follow in Christ's steps. So if I share things that are of personal nature, I really want you to look to Christ, to God. So forgive me. Anyhow, so as we looked at that prayer, and you look up Psalm 119, whew, that's an amazing psalm, right? There's a lot of verses. You can get a lot of hope and faith there. Does anybody want to share anything from their prayer that they had there that you're just like dying to share with someone, and we're that someone? That's fine, too. All right. So we're going to look at now this Hall of Saints, these first verses, and she's throwing a big one at us. What is faith, right? What is faith? This verse probably popped into your head if you've been in church any length of time. This is one that's commonly used to describe what faith is, right? But it's only one part of faith. Faith is multidimensional, And this is the one part where it is of the things not seen, right? It's how we live, right? So it says here for question A and B, we're going to answer as a group to let you know what's going on since I'm doing things differently. Group letter C, you're going to answer with the people at your table, okay, with each other. So A, other than the words faith, what stood out most to you as you read this passage? When we even read out loud today, what words, what meaning came to us? And you can look down at your text again. This isn't like a timed quiz or anything. And you can just popcorn them right out.
And this struck me as these all died in faith. It's to realize that they finished.
Yeah.
That they finished well, and that was important.
Yeah. Bobby.
But really, are the actions understood or the promises? Do the promises make sense, humanly speaking? But by faith, they.
Right. You're that old and you're going to have a baby. Does that make sense? What was that?
Where you're going to build a big ark.
For no rain.
Yeah.
There was no rain. You're building a boat for what? Anybody else?
I don't have one word, but many verbs.
Yes, good.
Yeah, many verbs. So after each person, each saint, the writer was there, followed by verb.
Right.
It shows all of them to the action to show their faith. So their faith is not just a mental knowledge. So they leave out through the faith. So when I read this chapter, it reminded me of James chapter 2. Yeah, James chapter 2. And the faith is made complete by the action.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. We can have all the faith we want. I can say, I can believe that God does this. I can go home and wail and cry and be angry and not do any of the things that this good word says or any of the things we heard in the message, right? But the action, that's what this part of faith is about, right? Anybody else? And it, yeah, not just a word, but thoughts, expression.
Yeah, I wrote obedience.
Right?
To God's leadership, pretty much what they mean.
Right?
About they just obeyed. Question.
I have an overview of the Old Testament. I love the girls will cry. This guy, he goes, Abraham packed his bags. You know, he just like, God said, hey, you, out of there, land of Ur, right? You're out. And he just packed up and moved. Really? How many of us have jumped in the car? You know? And so, anyhow, it's the action of our faith. Right? Anything else? Okay, good. Good, good. All right. So, what about, what do you consider to be the main point and key verse of this chapter?
The just shall live by faith?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're asking?
I'm asking what you read and what you observed, and your answer may change by the end of week 8.
That true faith is not based on evidence, but divine assurance in taking action. So.
That faith is sure and certain. It's based on God's character, His word and promises in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That they had faith, but didn't necessarily see the reward in this life.
Right? Mm-hmm. All of it. Faith is deep. Faith is big. Faith is multidimensional. All right. So, the definition she wants us to work with here, because we're going to go through different aspects of the definition, and this week we're just looking at this part of the definition. But the definition, this is going to be this slide you'll see every week. It's going to be being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And so Hebrews verse 11:3. All right. Myself, I keep going to verse 13 as well. Though they all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth. That I wasn't supposed to be like the other people that are not seeking Christ. Mm-hmm. That just strikes me. Mm-hmm. All right? So for now, this part of the study, that's my key verse from way I saw it. And all the observations you had were exactly right on. So I would like you to turn to your neighbor, shake their hand, no, promenade around the room. We're going to take, let's take about 5 minutes. And one, if you have not met before, which I think most of you, some of your sisters even, think they met before. But introduce yourself today, even though you are siblings. Introduce yourself for 30 seconds. And then after that, let's take the next 4 minutes to discuss the next two questions, and then we'll discuss them as a group. Okay? So that would be question C. You know, record one initial observation about each of the following: God and God's people. Okay? So C, we'll discuss as a group. All right? We'll go ahead now. I'll set a timer. All right. We have about 10 minutes of class time left before we're going to start prayer time and prayer groups. So I'm going to go over the first question here. What group would like to share any observations they had about God and God's people? Do I have a group that would like to share with us? It's valid. That's okay too. That's God's people. Was it a trick? Is that God's people? So, and I would beg to probably guess that you ended up talking about faith somewhat, right? No? Maybe not? Okay, I tried. Tried to save you there. All right.
Mm-hmm. Good. Which is God's faithfulness.
Right?
Being the called and the chosen.
Right. The elect.
Mm-hmm. Giving others that hope if they're in despair.
Yay. That's what it's about, being able to share our testimonies with one another.
So it wasn't like we were talking about ourselves, we were talking about how God was glorified. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I saw a hand over here. Thank you, Amber. Did I see another hand? Nope. I was dreaming. All right. So, his desire for righteousness is what I wrote down about God, right? And then I looked at God's people. We must look to his holiness of God for righteousness to be seen and flourish in us. We have to look for that in his word and seek it. I love question three. Who felt like this is one of those trick questions on a test? And I always overthink those and get them wrong when I'm taking an SAT or ACT. And if I just go with my first response, I'm fine. I had to go past that one and come back and look at it again for a couple of days. I'm like, is she trying to trick us here? Because, by the way, she doesn't give me the answers. So I had to really think about that one because I thought, am I being tricked? Because anytime it says explain your choices and reasoning, I thought, you know. So how many answered no, not one, if you're brave enough to share? All right. And who wrote yes? If so, explain your choices and your reasoning.
I think the only tricky one could be Sarah and Abraham because it was Abraham made the call.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, you know, had to go along. So maybe she wasn't directly called.
Yeah.
So that could be the trick question one?
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. I actually wrote, this is a good trick question.
Well, good, I'm not the only one that felt that way.
We're all called to walk in the same path and obey God and walk in his ways and seek him in all things, yet no one can predict fully or know the path.
Right. Right. And maybe that's the answer to the study, huh? Right? We get our hearts set on, I'm going to get married, have two kids, a dog, a fence, a house, a whatever. And is that what is God's will?
I mean, right? For the Old Testament characters that knew, I mean, God said, okay, you're going to build this boat and you're going to get on it with the animals or whatever. But he never really gives you all the little details. You know, he never says it's going to be this many days or it's going to you know, you're going to hit your thumb with the hammer 500 times in the process. You know, he's not going to show you all the little details and struggles and trials along the way. Mm-hmm. You might have a big overall. We know that Jesus is coming back someday. We have an overall knowledge of what is going to happen in the future. But I don't know whether my toilet's going to break this afternoon. You know? And I don't know if the doctor's going to tell me that I have some horrible disease. You know?
Right.
I don't know the details.
Right. And Julia, I know, has just went to see the Ark. And now reading Noah's story or recount in the Bible and seeing what we think a replica of that Ark is, does it change anything you've read in Scripture before, the meaning of it, that you see a reality? Right. And how many people were helping him?
Right.
And it took a lot of trees. Right. Some of them might have had to grow, in my opinion. All right. So it is amazing to think the unseen, that what we can do with faith. I know that for my husband and I, when we've had faith through a crisis that we could not see a solution, it is amazing to see what God does with that when we are in his will and follow his will, following in faith. When we try to manipulate and dictate what that life should look like, it's miserable. And it's not amazing at all. But as soon as we are walking in faith and living with the unknown, it's like, I feel like one of those Disney movies, almost, I don't know how many of you saw Aladdin this summer, and she's on that rug, and it's like the whole world is before you, but we tend to narrow it down to that black chair. It's got a spot on it, and I need to wipe it, and it's dirty, and I need to control it, and I need to move the chair, you know. We just tend to miss out on what the will of God has for us. All right, so let's go ahead and look at question four. And then we're going to hear. And it is, we're looking at the course of the faithful believers. And he says, we're going to walk the unexpected path of Job, Ruth, Esther, Jeremiah, John, Paul, and the list goes on, right? And they're doing the unseen path and what we think is the normal, predictable, and even less troublesome life right there. We're not, though, do we? We're going to see through Scripture that the easier path is being in his will. So let's look at question C. Walking with faith in God means seeking his will for our life, right? Does anybody have anything else down that they would like to note there?
I said not just vague belief, but it's actionable faith.
Mm-hmm. Those verbs again.
Transformative, life-impacting, tangible.
Very good.
As opposed to the world's version of faith, which is positive thoughts and have good energy, it'll all work out.
I believe, yeah, right?
There's some higher power who's looking out for you.
Right, right. All right, so as we come to that point, then I wanted to go over real quick here. Let's see here. If I can pull up as we head into prayer time. Why won't my slide switch? Just a second. Will not move. Okay, that means I locked up, right? Okay, what she has here at that last part is on writing a prayer out. So starting in prayer and ending in prayer as we go into prayer time, I just wanted to review what she had there for that. Let me see if I can find it in the book. A little bit more information there for you. I'm sorry, my iPad locked up. Here it is. Okay. So, what she was looking for, I won't move, sorry about that, is for you to write in this section that she calls path there, letter D of question four, and this little box, you know, believing in God. And she is going to quote a hymn or a poem, or different things for you. But what she's hoping you'll be inspired to do is write on those lines at the bottom there. It says, prayers, applications, and thoughts in my heart. Is a written prayer, or even a question for you to look into the next time you sit down to open God's Word. A short devotional thought, maybe a summary of the lesson that she has. A poem, a song that has come to your mind. I'm going to suggest other. This slide that's up there right now is for future. I've already did ahead to other lessons, so that's not for this lesson. Just so you know, that comes up in a later lesson. My iPad's totally locked. It won't even shut off. Let me see here if I can. Yeah, it's still up there. All right, so don't look at that slide. An application for your life. So this little box down here is supposed to be a well-written prayer. I don't know if any of you have studied the Valley of Vision or A Method of Prayer by Matthew Henry. Really, both of those come out of the same study, and I think his name was Dr. Willis. I'll have to look that up. But he taught on... when you're reading and studying God's Word, that God's Word will be your prayers, that verses will be your prayers. So that's what that box down there is for, and it's to take it to the application level. That's what makes this an inductive Bible study, because we're looking and observing and looking for the verbs, looking for the words that we hear over again, looking for the main thoughts, and then sum it up. And then if you notice, you turn the page over, somewhere she has a journal page. Is it at the end of the chapter? Yeah. So on that journal page, then you can keep writing. You know, if your summary is longer than that, or if you're going to write a long poem, or the answer to that question that you came up with. So Bev's going to come up. We're going to break into prayer groups. And sorry I took a couple minutes this time because my device locked up. But at 11:15... we should be dismissed for the parents that need to go get their children from daycare. Oh yeah, I know there's not today, but as a rule, sorry, it was on my slide. You can't see it. And I can't see it now either because it's locked up. So Bev's going to break us into prayer groups. We're going to try to spend more time in our prayer groups because the tightest part of women's Bible study, we're here to equip each other and talk to one another, and then to pray with one another and have time to really pray with one another. So Bev's going to come up, break us into groups.